tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. 695. Together, we're going to pray now, so we'll ask the children to sit up really good. We're going to talk to the Lord, and when we do that, we want to be very still and we want to be quiet. All right, let us all pray. Father, we thank thee for the opportunity to come together for our Sunday school social and to be in the house of God tonight, to be able to sing this hymn that reminds us that Jesus loves us. We thank thee that God set his love upon this world. When we were in our sin, when there was nothing good about us, nothing to recommend us to God, we praise thee that God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And we thank thee that this is the message of the gospel, that God did not leave man to himself to go on in his sin. But he opened up a way of salvation and redemption and everlasting life through his own Son, whom he gave to be that sacrifice for sin. We thank thee that Jesus lived for us and Jesus died for us and rose again victoriously over death. And we thank thee that he lives today in the power of an endless life. We thank thee for a living, eternal, risen, exalted Savior who is at the right hand of God and yet by the Spirit present with us now in this service tonight. We pray that the Lord will draw near, that he will help the children as they take part tonight in their various classes, that everything will be done to the glory of God, and that we might not only enjoy what we see and hear, but we might feel the burden and the challenge of these things. Let the truths of your word and the glorious gospel of Christ come with power to every waiting heart. We thank thee for those who have come, the mums and dads, grandparents, brothers and sisters, family members that are here. Lord, bless us together in the house of God for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, we start with the wee ones, and we're going to ask the following, and they will come and sing Jesus Loves Me. Adam Archibald, Madison Barron, Jake Borland, Seth Campbell, Kyle Connor, Grace Glenn, Rachel McClure, Charlie Newell, Katrina Nicol, Gemma Owens, and Tommy Motley. And they're going to sing for us, Jesus Loves Me.
Thank you. off a torch that shows the way. It gives direction for each step. I read it every day.
I use a mirror because it shows me how I really look. God shows me what my heart is like. It's in His holy book.
I'm so not worried by where I'm but by God's grace as well. That's why I need to go and bless it as my daily friend.
God's word is through the living truth that pierces sharp inside. It reaches to my very depths and my empty hands.
God's word is like water, fresh and pure, flowing from a mountain spring. It purifies and cleanses me and gives me peace within.
Like honey from the honeycomb that tastes so pure and sweet. God's word, a blessing from above, a very special treat.
God separated the waters like a wall and opened up the way.
And the God that lives in Moses' day is still the same today.
When David met Goliath, the wrong against the right, when Goliath armed with human power, when David with God's might.
A sling and stone, the giant. Mary.
He is still the same today. Seek no to gone astray, saving souls along the way.
Praise God, he's still the same today.
Quite sure you have enough food. Don't worry, if everything gets eaten, I can always buy you some more.
Where are the candles for the cake?
Right here. Now, where are all your friends? They should be here by now.
I was just wondering the same thing. I definitely told everyone to be here by 3 o'clock, and none of them is here yet.
Maybe there's just a lot of traffic, and they got held up. Don't worry, they will be here soon.
Oh, hello, Jordan. It's good to see you. Please come on in, and hopefully the others will be here soon.
Thank you, but...
But what?
I cannot stay for your birthday party.
Why? You said you would come.
I'm going shopping with my dad now, and I can't stay.
Surely you can wait until after the party and go shopping then.
Oh no, the shops will be closed if I leave it until after the party. Sorry, goodbye, and enjoy.
What is so urgent that you have to go now?
My dad promised to buy something special for me. Goodbye, and enjoy your party.
Who ever heard of a boy and his dad going shopping? That's just not normal. Oh, well, I still have my other friends coming. They don't know what they're missing.
What has happened?
Jordan isn't going to my party. He's going shopping with his dad instead. Really? Who ever heard of that?
Try not to worry. The others will be here soon.
Oh,
I told
hello.
You the others would be here soon.
Oh, hello. Happy birthday. How are you today?
I'm fine. Come on in. Enjoy the party.
Actually, there's something I want to tell you.
Toby, everything is ready here now. Come on in. Come in and see all the food. You will love it.
Look, I'm really sorry, but I can't stay. I'm going to school this afternoon to catch up on some extra work.
Extra school? On a Saturday afternoon? Are you feeling okay?
I know, but I really want to impress that new teacher. And maybe she will pick me for the football team. Goodbye and enjoy your party.
What is wrong with everyone?
Look, dear, sometimes things just don't work out the way we plan. That's just God teaching us to be patient.
But, Mummy, none of my friends want to come to my party. I just don't understand. I've always been so kind to them.
God's ways are not our ways, dear, and he never makes any mistakes. One day we will understand why he has allowed this to happen to you.
But, Mummy, we have all this lovely food. How can this be a good plan? I really can't understand that God would really want this.
Hello there. Happy birthday. So sorry I can't stay for your party. I have to go to a football match.
What? You mean you're not staying?
No, this is a really important game. I can't miss it. Enjoy your party.
Look at all this food. I can't understand.
I have a good idea. Look at those boys playing over there. Why don't we go over and invite them inside?
But, Mummy, I don't know any of them.
You don't have to. Just go over and invite them inside, and I'm sure they will happily come in and enjoy the party.
Okay. Here goes. Hi, guys. It's my birthday today. Do you want to come over and play some games and eat some food?
Yes, we would love to.
Mum, some of my friends are coming to my party. This is Jimmy, this is Joe, and this is Bob.
Glad you could come. Let's get this party started. Oh, I need to bring in the cake.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Rebecca. Happy birthday to you.
Thanks for the party.
Goodbye.
Well, it didn't turn out too bad, did it?
No, it was great.
Those guys are real good friends. I'm so glad they could come today.
This wee player reminds us of a story in the Bible where people made excuses about why they could not come to a party.
The man went out into the highways and byways and invited strangers to come to his feast instead.
Today God is calling people to turn from their sin and join him in the feast in heaven.
Instead of begging excuses, just accept the simple invitation.
What will your answer be today?
Colourful is a rainbow against a dark grey sky. It always seems to follow rain. I often wonder why.
It speaks of a promise God has made to never again destroy the earth and all its people with floods. This should fill us all with joy.
Let's look at each colour in turn. The first in the bow is red, which speaks of the blood of Jesus for us on the cross he shed.
The next that we see is orange, which tells us of Pentecost flame. It sat on the head of disciples when God's Holy Spirit came.
And now in the bow comes yellow, which speaks to us all of gold. The streets of heaven are paved with this, for showing God's word we are told.
Next comes bright green in the spectrum. I think it's God's favourite shade. Trees, bushes, plants and grasses, in all shades of green he made.
The next that we come to is blue, which speaks of the clear sky above. Beyond is the home God's preparing for all who abide in his love.
The next shade is much darker blue. We call it indigo. It speaks of the holiness of life, and we can know this too.
Then last of all comes violet, a purple robe Christ wore when he was punished for us all and all our sins he bore.
So when you look into the sky with bow or hill and dale, remember that God's promises will never, ever fail.
Hi, Aaron. What are you doing?
Oh, just killing these bodies in the game. I'm not a top scorer.
Can we play?
What? Shush, don't disturb. This is important. I've been playing this game non-stop for a week now, and I'm almost complete. Watch it, that's my good phone. It's very expensive, and if you break it, I'd be lost without it. It's very important to me.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. After all, it's only a phone. It's obviously more important to you than that Bible which is lying on the floor.
This is a nice small Bible. It looks very old.
It's a soldier's Bible. It was my great-grandfather's when he was fighting in the war. He read it every day when he was on the front line.
Why don't you put it on the shelf with the rest of your Bibles?
You should never leave it sitting in the store. Our Sunday school teacher taught us to always keep it in the table and give it the respect it deserves, rather than at our feet and floor.
I suppose my grandfather always said that down through the years, many men and women have given their lives to preserve the Bible so that we could have it in English and be able to read what God says. Oh, now the battery has died. What am I going to do now? I'm bored already.
Why don't we read one of these Bibles?
We're beginning to sound like my mom, always saying that I should read my Bible and that God would teach me something new. My granny keeps me buying one every year. That's why I have so many.
You should be thankful you have so many.
Yes. Do you not know that in some countries, Christians don't even have their own Bible, and they long for God's word? I've heard that in parts of China, there is maybe only one Bible for over 20 Christians.
Is that all? How did I read it?
I tore it up.
What? I thought God didn't lie. I was damaging his word.
It wasn't like that, Aaron. They divide the Bible up into smaller pieces so that each Christian got some chapters to pick from and read. After they finished reading, they swapped the pages.
I feel bad now. All those Bibles that I never look at, and then people in China with only one between them, which is now in bits.
Friends of ours have been out in China and smuggled Bibles into the suitcase to give out to Christians. They're overjoyed when they get the Bibles.
But is it not really boring? I mean, I'm not really listening when the Reverend Park is reading this Sunday morning.
Nonsense. Do you not know that the Bible is full of wonderful true stories? Stories of kings and queens, soldiers, battles, spies, and there's even a film that got swallowed by a whale. Not to mention we learn so much about the Lord Jesus Christ.
Are you serious? I didn't know it all that. I love battles.
There's something for everyone in this book. You just have to get it off the shelf and start reading.
And if you do that, God will show you wonderful things.
Yes, my granny keeps sharing John 3 verse 16 with me. That's one I know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Sad, lonely, or unsure what to do, God will direct and guide.
That's good. Another verse my granny tells me is Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Ah, here we are. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Or what about Joshua 1 verse 9 when you're worried? Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest.
Or one of my favourites, Acts 16 verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house.
Thank you, Wolf. I didn't realize there was so much in here. I'm definitely going to read my Bible more. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and doth he meditate day and night.
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
We've traveled together through life's rugged way, o'er land and o'er water, by night and by day, to travel. We came close together, my Bible and I. In sorrow I proved it, my comfort and joy, and weak my strong tower, which none can destroy. When death comes so near me, 'tis so I would die. We still are together, my Bible and I. When evil temptations are brought to my view, and I
How good it is to emphasize the importance of the Word of God. And we trust that you've been blessed as you've listened to the children. Now we're going to sing a hymn just to break up the program a little bit. 713. We always have an offering at the Sunday School Social, and this goes to the children's work. If you didn't come prepared, don't worry about that. Just pass the collection plate along to the next person. But we're going to sing this hymn and keep our seats for the first part. It is a thing most wonderful, almost too wonderful to be. 713.
Charles Blondin became the most famous tightrope walker in the world.
Born in France in 1824, he discovered his talent at the age of 4 or 5 when he walked across a rope strung between two chairs after watching an acrobat at the circus.
In 1855, he came to America to perform, and while there, he came up with the idea of crossing the Niagara Falls on a tightrope.
Do you think I can do it?
Oh, I don't know. It's a long way across, and the rope is swaying in the wind.
On the 30th of June, 1859, about 25,000 people came to see Charles Blondin walk across the falls. He started on the American side and walked to the Canadian side, carrying his balancing pole.
That's amazing. What a brilliant performance. Can I have your autograph?
Of course. That was nothing. Wait till you see this.
After resting for 20 minutes, Blondin set off back across the falls, this time with a camera strapped to his back. In the middle, he stopped and took a photo of the crowd on the American side.
Say cheese!
The entire walk from one side to the other took 23 minutes.
Do you think I can do it without my balancing pole?
Yes, of course you can.
Blondie did many stunts, crossing without his pole and crossing on silk.
Do you think I can do it blindfolded?
Yes, of course you can.
He once crossed with a sack over his head and walking backwards. On another... Okay. He once crossed with a sack over his head and walking backwards... On another occasion, he carried a stove and chair and made an omelette in the middle of the rope.
Do you think I can do it wheeling this wheelbarrow?
Yes, of course you can.
On one occasion, he crossed wheeling a wheelbarrow with a bag of potatoes on it. On another occasion, he crossed carrying his manager on his back.
Will you get into the wheelbarrow and let me wheel you across?
Let me think about that. No way!
The story is told how the crowds cheered when he came across within the wheelbarrow. Yet, when he asked for a volunteer to get into the wheelbarrow, no one would do it. They didn't really have faith that he could do it with them.
And that's a picture of some in the audience tonight. You believe that Jesus lived. You believe that he performed miracles. You believe that he died on the cross. Yet, like those who wouldn't get into the wheelbarrow, you won't trust the Lord Jesus to be your Saviour.
And just like the Niagara Falls, there is a vast gulf separating us from God because of our sin. We cannot make it across ourselves. The Bible tells us all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But there is one who can bring us safely over, the Lord Jesus Christ.
John chapter 3, verse 16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life."
The Lord Jesus has safely carried many across that great gulf. None who have believed and trusted in him have perished. He has never failed and never will. Will you trust him tonight as your Saviour?
Great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. Each little altar I place it to your heads, my friends and family. Father, I place it to your heads, the things that trouble me. Father, I place it to your heads, the person I would be, for I know I always can trust you.
Missionary every day. Tell the world that Jesus John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life."
In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witness unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth."
Jesus said in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature."
In Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, Jesus said, "And behold, I come quickly."
A true friend.
If you should need a friend that's true, then Christ is the best friend for you, for he is faithful, true, and strong, and he will never get it wrong.
He'll always answer when you call. He'll always be there when you fall, to comfort, heal, and hold your hand, to pick you up and help you stand.
This friend I'm telling you tonight has truly got a lot of might. He's the Lord and King of kings, creator, maker of all things.
His name is Jesus, risen Christ, and he is great in love and power. All you need to do is pray, ask him into your heart today.
Dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee.
My God promises, my God shall supply all my needs according to righteous and glory through Christ Jesus.
God promises, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
God promises, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us.
He knows my name. He knows.
Good evening. Tonight we are going to travel back to before World War II and to a town called Haarlem near Amsterdam, Holland. We start our story in the home of Cornelia Arnoldo Johanna ten Boom, but from now on we will call her Corrie.
Good morning, Casper. Good morning, Corrie. Just checking if my watch is ready yet.
Oh, yes.
Corrie, congratulations. I hear you've just qualified as the first woman watchmaker in the whole of Holland. Do you think you'll ever be as good as your papa? People say he's the best in the whole country.
I doubt it, Mr. Schindler. People come from far and near to have Papa do their work. He's rather famous, aren't you, Papa?
No, Corrie. Don't say those things. I just use the talents God has given me.
Here's your watch. Thank you for your custom and God bless you and your family. Good morning.
Thanks, Corrie. Thanks, Casper. God bless you both. I'll bring my wife's watch over next week. There's a small diamond missing that needs replaced.
Mr. Schindler is such a nice man.
Yes, Corrie. I wonder, is he any younger brothers?
He's a Jew, Betsy. Did you know that?
Girls, we must always show respect to the Jews. After all, they are God's chosen people.
In 1940, everything changed in the town of Haarlem when the Nazis took over control of the region. The happy, quiet life of the Ten Boom family ended forever.
Nice to see you again, Mr. Schindler. And Mrs. Schindler, too. You're very welcome.
Hello again. How can we help?
Mr. Schindler, why are you wearing a yellow star? Is it your birthday or something?
No, Betsy. It's not his birthday. The Nazi regime insists all Jews wear the yellow star. Yes. Every Jew in Haarlem is wearing one. You see, we're proud to be Jewish, Betsy. Now, can you take a look at Christina's watch? There's a small diamond missing that needs replaced.
Certainly. Just name it Corrie.
What's all this about the yellow star and all the Jews having to wear it?
I don't like it. People are being singled out. Singled out for a reason, if you ask me.
Yes, I've just heard some disturbing news. The Nazis are rounding up all the men wearing the yellow star in the east of the town, putting them on a truck and leaving Haarlem with them.
I was right. It's just as I feared. This is very worrying. There are so many good and honest Jews in this town, like the Schindlers. Very worrying indeed.
I wish there was something we could do to help.
Well, maybe there is.
What?
What can we do?
We'd love to help.
What's your plan, Mama? You always have a plan. Well, I haven't discussed this with your papa yet, but...
Oh, go ahead, Mama. Go ahead.
Well, you know the way this house is designed, with the shop at the front and the narrow, twisty corridors and many small rooms behind? Well, I thought perhaps we could hide some of the Jewish people here until it's safe for them to go elsewhere.
Yes, let's do it.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. I love adventure.
Quiet, girls. Not a word to anyone.
Over the next few days, some hurried building work was carried out in the house behind the shop. A secret room was built off Corrie's bedroom with a crude ventilation system. An alarming warning bell was fitted, and it wasn't long before those seeking refuge began to appear.
I couldn't sleep last night, Betsy. The planes overhead were so loud.
I was frightened, Corrie. But I prayed that God would keep us all safe, and he did just that.
Miss Ten Boom, there's the soldiers. They're in our street. They're looking for Jews. We've got to hide. Can you help us?
Okay, listen carefully. Through the door behind you, take the first left, then the first right, and up the stairs. At the end of the corridor, you'll find your room. In the room, there's a bookcase. Behind the bookcase, is another room. That's a hiding place. We only have to go to the hiding place when the bell sounds like this. Supper is at 6. If anyone looks in the window at supper, we also have a birthday to Papa. That way, it's easy to explain why there are so many around the table. Got all that?
I've had so many birthdays these past weeks. I must be over 100 by now.
Thank you, Miss Campbell. Thank you so much.
How did you say we get to the secret room?
Oh, Corey forgot to say. You need to remove the books on the bottom shelf and crawl through. It's pretty tight. Mr. Sherman the beggar kind of got stuck. It was very funny.
Betsy.
Corey soon became the leader of the underground movement in Harlem. Many Jews hid in the watchmaker's house, and then were moved on to safe houses in the country, or out of Holland completely. It's estimated that over 800 Jews were saved by the actions of the Ten Boom family. With so many people passing through their home, Corrie and her family made use of this opportunity to tell the refugees of their Lord and Saviour, who could save them not only from the Nazis, but for all eternity. Despite all the precautions, however, a Dutch informer revealed the Ten Boom actions to the Nazis.
We have reason to believe you are hiding those Ezekiel.
But the Jewish doctor, it's all
not just a cluster, sir. What's through that door behind you?
That's for you, sir.
Let's look. You all stay here. No one move.
Pray, Betsy, pray. Papa, you must pray that you won't find the Jews.
How many today, Corey?
12, I think, Papa. And 2 small children, too. I hope you don't sneeze.
We found nothing, but we still believe you're harboring the enemy. We are risking all. Come with us.
But we...
Quiet, old man. Just do as you're told.
The Ten Boom family were all arrested and taken away. Papa was taken to Syringe Prison, where he died 10 days later, aged 84. Betsy and Corey were sent to the infamous Ravensbrück concentration camp in Germany on a crowded railway wagon and treated like cattle.
God makes no mistakes. Did you see how many people are here?
Yes, Betsy. Thousands. No food, little water, no hygiene, and about 10 rats for every person.
But Corey, don't you see the opportunity? Thousands of people who have never heard the gospel, and we can tell them.
Quiet. Work. Work, you rats. Any more from you two, and no food tomorrow, you useless, worthless, filthy creature.
I hate this place. You're ill, we're hungry, they beat us. This place is a pit.
Yes, Corey, it is a pit. But there is no pit so deep that God cannot go deeper.
Betsy's cough grew worse. Each day, she and Corey were forced to work outside in freezing conditions with little warm clothing and little food.
I received a package yesterday. Someone smuggled it in. The address is written in a funny way, and the stamp looks unusual too.
Let me see it. I wonder, can I take the stamp off?
Look what's written below it.
All the watches are safe.
What does that mean?
Oh, the Jews in the secret room. They've all escaped.
Praise God.
Yes, what a relief. God has answered prayer.
At the beginning of 1944, Betsy went directly from imprisonment to heaven when she died of her illness. On the 28th of February, Corrie ten Boom was released from the Ravensbrück camp due to a clerical error. After a time of recuperation, Corrie set up a rehabilitation centre for concentration camp survivors and travelled through the world, visiting over 50 countries and meeting people of all ages and backgrounds.
Meet Ham.
What's the matter?
I was a garden living for it. I heard the gospel there. God has forgiven me. Miss Tenbrun, will you?
Of course. If God has forgiven me, how can I not, Ham? Yes, I do forgive you.
Throughout her life, Cori, along with the other members of her family, trusted in the promises contained in God's word. She proved that the words of Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 are so true. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Tonight, can I ask, who are you trusting in? When difficult times come, do you know the never-failing God of Corrie ten Boom? Is he your saviour as he was Corrie's?
Thank the children who took part in the play tonight and did exceedingly well. Brought us back in time, that little bit of history, true history. A very sad time in the history of the world and Europe. But the Lord did deliver many of his ancient people, and we're very thankful to that family that were so kind to them. Come to the last part tonight, and as a wee message for particularly the children, but we hope that the adults learn as well. And I want to bring a message that I've brought recently in other places, and it's been very close to my heart, because when we were in Canada, we saw a lot of snow. When my wife and I, Norman and Philip, visited that land, in the places that we were, there was still a lot of snow about, very cold. And you know, the Bible has a lot to say about snow, and maybe you know that already. Leprosy is described as being white as snow. Did you know that? Benaiah, we read about him in the Bible, and it tells us that he slew a lion in a pit in the time of snow. The Bible speaks about drought and heat consuming snow. Well, we understand that. If warm weather comes and there's heat, the snow begins to melt, it consumes away. The Bible says that God saith to the snow, be thou on the earth. So when you see the snow, let's remember God commands it. God says, let there be snow. Let there be snow in Northern Ireland, or let there be snow in Canada or some other place. He is the one who sends it, and he giveth snow like wool. There's another verse that says, fire, hail, snow, vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. All these things move and act according to the will of God. Of the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31, it says she is not afraid of snow. And then there's a wonderful promise about the rain coming down and the snow from heaven and how that it doesn't return. And it speaks about the Bible being just like that, the word of God coming down in such a way. Christ's clothes in the New Testament were exceeding white as snow on the Mount of Transfiguration. That's how he appeared. The angel that we read about in Matthew 28 and verse 3 had clothes or raiment as white as snow. And there's a wonderful description of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1 that tells us that his head and his hairs were white as snow. Now, there's two verses in the Bible that I want you to try and remember, children. And I want you to take these verses home in your heart. And one line in particular that speaks about snow. Pardon me. All right. Do you know this verse? Verse of the Bible. In Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Read this bit now in red. Do you see it? Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I want you to remember that verse. And then I want you to think about Psalm 51. And David wrote these words in verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. So it's speaking about cleansing. And I want you to really think about that first text and the middle part in red. I want you to remember this. Take it home in your mind. Take it home in your heart. And let it do you good. And let the truth of it sink into your soul. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Do you think you'll remember that? There's two colors. What are the colors that are used in this verse of the Bible? Ben. Scarlet and white as snow. And I was able to get some material just to show you what these colors are like. This is a scarlet color, okay? Yep, scarlet is red. It's a little bit like your coat, Ariane, isn't it? Very, very, very similar. And way back in Bible times, how they got the dye was from little insects that laid eggs on the leaves of oak trees in Spain. All right, so they had to go all the way to Spain from Israel to get these little eggs, and they crushed them, and this color was provided, and they were able to dye their cloths, their clothes, in scarlet, in this red color. And you know, it was a deep red. It was a deep dyed red. It was a red that didn't fade in the sun. You know, sometimes when you wear clothing and the sun shines upon it, it fades and it's not the same color as when you bought it. Well, this color did not fade. And it lasted. It was permanent. All right? You could wash it and wash it and wash it, and it stayed the same. And children, God says in his word, this is just like our sin. Though your sins be as scarlet. Our sins, if we could just see inside, into our hearts, they are like scarlet. They are deep dyed. They are permanent. Nothing can take our sins away as far as we are concerned. Anything that we could do cannot remove the stain of sin. It's permanent and it lasts, and there's nothing that we can do to take it away. But yet the Bible tells us, though your sins be as scarlet, they can be made white as snow. You think of that. Inside, though you have a heart that is deep dyed like the scarlet color, and that sin in there that it represents is permanent and it can't be taken away, God says that you can be like this inside. Now, children, how do you get from this to this?
By
asking the Lord into your heart. It's a miracle. You've got to agree, something that's permanent and we can do nothing to take it away, and yet God can do it, and he can make our hearts white as snow. And it is by his grace. The Bible tells us by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did when he came into this world, and you remember that he was born just like a little baby, and he grew up, and he lived in this world a perfect life. Children, I want you to remember that. He lived a perfect life. He was totally righteous. He was totally pure. There was never any sign of scarlet sin in Christ. He was always like this. He was always white as snow, and he lived that life for you and me because he represented us. He took our place in our life, but he also took our place in his death. And when he shed his precious blood, he shed his blood so that our sins could be washed away and our hearts be made clean. Now, how do I make that mine? How do I get from here to here? How can this change take place in my heart? Ariana.
By being born again.
By being born again. Well, that's a good answer. I receive it. I make it mine by turning in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. I repent of my sin. That means I turn away from it. I confess it to the Lord. I ask the Lord who shed his blood for me to wash away my sin and to come into my heart and life to be my Savior. And if I do that, the Lord says, though your sins have been like scarlet, they can be white as snow. Now, you've all seen snow, haven't you? You've all seen snow. Whenever I was visiting some of the countries that I've been to, it is summer all year round. How would you like to have summer all year round? Maybe 30 degrees all year round, or 35. Would you like that? Would that be good? No. Aye, it would be lovely to have summer all year. Well, if you live near the equator, that's very possible. You might get some rain in the rainy season, but you don't get any snow. And there are many children, millions of children who have never seen snow. Maybe just in a picture. And if they've ever seen a television, which for some it's unlikely, they may have seen photographs of snow on the television, but they've never seen it. Is there any snow outside? Did you see the snow when you were coming in? No, there was no snow tonight. Sure there wasn't. Would you like to see some snow?
I already saw some snow for 2 weeks.
Would you like to see some snow tonight?
No.
I can make snow.
No, you can.
Okay, would you like me to make snow?
No.
I can. But I need an older child to volunteer to kind of help me. Bethany, would you come up and help me? You might know what needs to be done. Okay, you stand there. You put your hands together, and I'll put this special powder into your hands, okay? And you make sure they're tight so that nothing drops out, especially when I pour water. All right? You got it now? What do you think of that? You can't see it just now, but wait till you see what happens here. Are you ready? Is your hands tightly together? What's happening? I think you could have a wee more drink of water. So, do you want to share it with me? A little bit? Look at that. Do you want to put it back in your hands again? Where's the caretaker? Do you want to give it to your granda? Aye. Now here, but put it in that bag, will we? There you go. Thank you very much. But you see that white snow, and we'll have to get that hoovered up afterwards. The Lord says, though your sins be like this inside your heart, you can be like this. And children, I want you to remember the text. It's so important. It's a great Bible truth. Mums and dads too. That the Lord can save you. He can take away your sin. And he can make you white inside and give to you his own righteousness. And that is the purity of Jesus Christ in your life. God can do that for you. And it is our prayer. It's always been our prayer in the Sunday school that our children will come to know the Lord and that our children will be saved and they'll go back into their homes as lights in their home and bring the gospel there too, that mums and dads and other members of the family might come to know the Lord and have their sins washed away too. Now, there is a hymn now we're going to sing, and then we're going to have the prizes. But the hymn is 719, and it is a prayer. It is a prayer, and I want you to think about this. It talks about the city bright, that's heaven, Christ. Or closed are the gates to sin, not that defileth can ever enter in. Then there's a prayer. In verse 2, Savior, I come to thee. O Lamb of God, I pray, cleanse me and save me. Wash all my sins away. And if you pray that prayer, children, you ask the Lord to cleanse you, you can be changed from the scarlet color of sin into the white as snow color of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. May this be your prayer and others too. Saviour, I come to thee. We're going to stand and just sing those two verses, 1 and 2, as we come to almost the end of our Sunday school social.